Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I understand your desperation, the shock of learning you were dying, but you have no right to do what you've done.
I have every right, Captain. I am man, he is machine. There is no question who must live and what must die.
What of Data?
Data? Before me, he was nothing. Just a walking tin can with circuits for intestines. Pathetic. Without heart, a man is meaningless.
Hello!
Hi!
Hi!
Oh. Hey! What are we? Where am I?
Who are you?
Am I welcome somewhere?
You're welcome here, sir.
Where is that? What am I welcome to?
It's got Star Trek.
Dan, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Pat.
Oh, I mean, I appreciate
you guys
Jesse.
Are great.
I appreciate you
thanks.
Too, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate you.
I appreciate myself. Because I can't appreciate you guys if I don't appreciate myself first.
I mean, I think you could.
No.
It's not ideal.
No, because you can't love anyone unless you love yourself.
The thing is, I know the
true.
Slogan. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do agree. I'm not saying I don't agree. I'm saying I haven't put enough thought to decide
but don't
whether
you,
I agree
with it. But like, it's always like people.
It's not the same as the airplane business.
But it's always like people.
You know, put the mask on your kid first,
but it's
and
always,
then you.
It's always the people that think.
No, sorry, you're right.
You
I apologize.
It on you first.
You put it on you first.
It's like, you got to eat first.
So it's a similar analogy, except it makes more sense.
No, one of the reasons people are often like flaky in a relationship or they like don't want to be part of a relationship is because they don't think they're worthwhile enough to be in that relationship.
I agree.
And so
with
they
that.
Treat you like they treat themselves. Yeah. Because they're like, well, I'm not worth the time, and this is how I treat myself, so this is also happens to be how I treat everybody else.
Absolutely agree. I think that's a common thing, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's the only way that happens. I think sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes people who dislike themselves will like other people maybe too much.
Maybe
too much. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
But is that here or there?
Is it neither here nor there?
Let me briefly interject.
Could it be?
Let me briefly interject. I'm enjoying this, but I'll recall
that is not necessarily true, Grandpa.
I will remind both of you. A few minutes ago, we were all quite eager to "quote unquote" start the podcast.
We started,
and I know we've technically started recording the podcast.
Hmm.
But
okay.
we're 2 minutes of content,
but we haven't welcomed anybody yet. So let's do that.
Go on, gorgeous. Spit it out.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Come in.
Ooh, that was a particularly good door chime. Can you play that again?
Yeah, it was very clear.
Come in.
Good stuff.
I like that.
Come in.
All right. Okay, everyone, hello, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Come in.
Here we go. This happens to be the, let me look at my notes, 343rd episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I hope that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope that's all it is.
Okay.
Just as I expected.
Dr. Troy.
A doctor?
Of course she's a doctor. She's a counselor.
She's Counselor Troy.
She's like a brain
She's
doctor.
A psychologist.
She's a counselor.
Or a psychiatrist.
If she was a doctor, they'd call her doctor.
I think it's a it was kind of weird that they didn't call her a doctor.
A social worker isn't like a psychologist.
No, but many social workers do have PhDs and are doctors.
I'm sure that I'm just saying the term social worker does not itself denote.
Yeah, but she's not a social worker.
Well, she's not. She's a counselor.
Yes.
But I'm just saying it's analogous.
Yeah, but a counselor generally implies a psychologist, specifically, usually in contemporary usage and certainly in the usage in the 80s, a counselor would mean a psychologist as opposed to a psychiatrist. So maybe she's not a medical doctor.
That is not necessarily true, Grandpa.
It is not
necessarily
true. A counselor
is not a psychologist.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that in the context of the flagship of the Federation, USS Enterprise D.
You're declaring fact something that you've decided about Star Trek.
I am confident in asserting that Troy has the equivalent of a PhD.
You're like in the context of the 80s, counselor means doctor. No, it does. Or psychologist. No, it doesn't.
No, it does. There's different uses of the word
counselor. Counselor does not mean psychologist.
In the context of somebody who provides psychological counseling, it means a psychologist. That is what she does. She does not advise on which courses to take next semester.
A psychologist is a type of counselor, but a counselor is not necessarily a psychologist.
Like help you like find a career path.
And for some reason,
but like what Jesse said, we know what she does. We know her job. For some reason,
you brought up psychiatrists, and that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
I think it does.
It does, because to differentiate a psychiatrist...
I know the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
As a medical degree.
I know the difference, and that's why I'm saying psychiatrists have nothing to do with this discussion.
She provides psychological counseling.
And psychiatry has nothing to do with that.
It's related.
They are related. They often work together.
Psychologists, you go and talk to them for an hour. Psychiatrists, they talk to you for like 5 minutes and give you a bunch of drugs. That's the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
No, psychiatrists often also...
That's part of it.
Every psychiatrist that I've seen has talked to me for a good 5 minutes and then thrown a bunch of drugs at me.
Yeah, I know. You might go to
just the paper.
Maybe go to a psychologist.
No, I mean, I'm like, usually psychiatrists, like...
In my experience, you go to the psychologist and then the psychologist decides you need drugs and then calls up their buddy who's a psychiatrist.
That's what I'm saying. Is the psychiatrist talks to you for a few minutes, gives you the drugs.
Yes.
Psychologist, you talk to him. That's just what I fucking said.
Dr. Troy.
Let's jump back to the second where you said I was wrong and then went and said, actually what it is.
I don't recall saying you're wrong.
Yes, you did. I said psychologist is the one you talked to for an hour. Psychiatrist, you talked to for like 5 minutes. They give drugs. Anyway, you said, wait, don't interrupt. I said psychologist, you talk to him for a while. Psychiatrist, you don't, and they give you drugs, and you're like, I don't know if that's true. And then you were like, what the psychiatrist actually does, and then you went on to say the exact same thing that I just said that you disagreed with.
Oh my goodness.
To get things moving along.
So which is it, Patrick?
I'll agree with whatever you think.
No, I just want to know where you stand. Because you have not been clear about how your opinion. You have not been clear about your differentiation between psychiatrists and psychologists and how I was wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong.
You did say I was wrong.
I'm not going to look. I want to continue the podcast. So, Dr. Troy, not Dr. Troy.
Counselor,
it's up to you. Counselor Troy.
Never called her doctor.
All right.
Beverly Crusher, on the other hand, she's been called doctor.
But it's a Pulaski.
All right. Yes, it's a Pulaski because we're in season two.
Oh, wait.
And the Vulcan medical officer.
Yeah, Dr. Selar.
Selar, that's right.
Yeah. By the way, Dr. Selar, you recognize her? Oh, we haven't even mentioned the episode.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. Dr. Selar was played by Susie Plaxton. And Susie Plaxton.
Oh, that's right.
First of all, she's a brilliant actor regardless, but she comes back on TNG to play Claire, who is Alexander's mom.
Right.
The mother of Worf's child. Yes. Half Klingon, half human, as I recall. She also played Q in The Q in the Gray. Do you remember that? We talked about The Q in the Gray.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? That was episode 203.
Yeah, damn, dude.
Of It's Got Star Trek.
Hell yeah. Well.
That was a fun episode to discuss, as I recall.
I know that, Data.
The Q ones are usually good.
And, I mean, you know, Voyager did... Yeah, you know, go back to the Q well a lot. But I think each individual one was good. But that's a separate conversation. She also played the Andorian Terra in Enterprise's Ceasefire. That's a fourth season, as I recall. I think she's a badass Andorian. Maybe the first.
Wait, that seems familiar.
I think she's the first officer, like maybe Shran's first officer at some point. Wow. I don't know. Anyway, Susie Plaxton's great, and she's great.
To put it mildly.
there's a lot of potential keepers in this episode, in terms of sound clips. And this episode,
of course it is.
By this episode, I mean to say TNG's second season episode, The Schizoid Man.
It is my body now. I live here now.
No offense, but I don't want you touching me in any way.
It's that guy.
Yes.
W. Morgan Shepherd.
He's
William Morgan Shepherd.
Yeah, he's one of those people who's been like in a billion things.
He was in Star Trek.
He was in Star Trek VI. I think he was a Klingon.
The Gulag.
Yeah, the Gulag.
He was really
Rurapente.
He was really convincing as Ira Graves. Ira Graves was supposed to be, like he defined it.
And I think they needed that.
He was in Gettysburg.
They needed that because otherwise, one kind of thin part about this episode is that everyone thinks this guy is like the biggest genius in the world, but they never 100% explain why.
Yeah,
and he's the type of arrogant piece of shit that people will put up with because they're like, well, he's an established genius. He is so smart. It's not that he's not one of those people who's so charming that he can be arrogant. Remember that that episode of Deep Space Nine that I'm not a huge fan of, where Sisko is some ladies.
Try to remember that boy.
So stressed out, she makes a sex ghost for Sisko. Remember Sisko's sex ghost? Okay,
This is best that I do not remember.
Can I remember?
We talked about that.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, the
stressed out sex.
The similar scientist husband man person in that one was more on the charming. He's like so charming that people were like, okay, you're an asshole, but you're a charming asshole. Mm-hmm. Ira Graves was more along the lines of like, he must have done something so awesome. And William, is it William Shepherd Morgan? Yes.
Morgan Shepherd.
William, thank you. Thank
Morgan
you, Dan.
Morgan Shepherd. Yeah.
Dan, I think you're 100% correct that he's does such a good job that you immediately buy into
it. There's a dissonance between his character and the way Data plays his character because he comes off as like, you know, he's arrogant and that kind of thing, and you know, so he's kind of off putting in certain ways. But you
like
kind
the teeth, are a little off.
Did you have a clip about him?
I'll save that for later.
Yeah, this one.
Women aren't people. They're women.
I don't know.
Madame Troy looks at him like, ugh. See, she's not charmed by that.
Like, but the thing is the way he delivers it, you can't tell if he's saying it in a way that he's like trying to condescend women, or if he thinks he's like putting them on a pedestal. I can't tell which way he's going with that. Anyway, but
he's being shitty.
But like to see him present this character, you believe him as like, okay, this guy is probably pretty smart. He's kind of off-putting, but I kind of buy into his whole thing. But then when Data plays him, and especially sound I just started playing, when he gives that eulogy, he just comes off as like a doofus.
Yeah.
When Data does, Brent Spiner. Yeah, yeah, it's just, his character doesn't, whereas as he's Ira Graves proper, he sounds like a legitimate genius type who you could buy into. But when he's in Data's body, he doesn't put off that same air of authority. Yeah. He just sounds like a blowhard idiot.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's an interesting episode. It's a fun episode. One of the early, quote unquote, let's give Brent some fun things to do episodes. And he definitely has fun. I tend to agree with you, Dan, that he didn't necessarily play the character of Ira Graves exactly, but he is doing funny things.
To know him is to love him is to know him. To know him is to love him is to know him. To know him is to love him is to know him. To know him is to love him is to know him.
Those are two separate.
When he comes back, you can tell right away that he's Data, and everybody can tell right away that he's Data, which is kind of a neat thing.
I can safely say that to know him was to love him.
Yeah.
And to love him was to know him.
To know him is to love him is to know him.
But the thing is it was pretty obvious, right when he came back.
Like he doesn't have to say anything.
He doesn't,
just,
but
like, he just, the way he looks.
But they still threw in that whistle, like him whistling.
Yeah.
Like that was at the moment when he left Picard. That's the only reason I think they had him whistle in this episode, so he could whistle. He said if I only had a heart. I always thought it was if I only had a brain was the name of the song, but maybe
it's both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the name of the song
Yeah.
What's the actual name of the song?
Yeah, is it the Tin Man or the Scarecrow? Is the Scarecrow?
Well, the Scarecrow needs a brain,
and the Tin Man needs a heart. Which one sings?
Don't they all? Isn't that the same tune for both?
Maybe it is.
But like I'm saying, they sing the lyrics in that same song. I just don't know what it's called. If I only had a Wizard of Oz.
If I only had a Wizard of Oz.
It says if I only had a brain is what it's called. Yeah. Wait a second. The songs, If I Only Had a Brain, If I Only Had a Heart, and If I Only Had the Nerve are sung when Dorothy meets this. Oh,
Jesse is correct.
So I guess they're three.
The same tune.
No, it's three different tunes.
Well, three different tunes using the same tune. Right? That's what you're suggesting, Jesse?
No, is that what you were suggesting?
That is what I believe that's what Jesse was suggesting, right?
What was I suggesting?
You were saying that different lyrics for the same tune for the three characters in The Wizard of Oz.
Well, at least for a couple of them.
I mean, because Dan just mentioned if I only had the nerve, which is the Cowardly Lion, if I only had a heart, which is the Tin Man, and then if I only had a brain, which is the Scarecrow.
Anyway,
we really ought to remember more about The Wizard of Oz.
It always creeped me out.
Me too.
Okay, so apparently, I guess they're each their own thing, but with the same tune. Anyway, so let's just say is they had him sing Whistle If I Only Had a Heart. And they had him whistled at the beginning, and that's the only reason they did it, because when he left Picard's office, they hadn't yet announced that he was Ira Graves, but then when he whistles that tune, when Data whistles it, that's when the audience is like, okay, if you haven't figured it out by now, this is what he is.
If you didn't figure out when Ira Graves was like, I'm going to put my brain in this computer.
Yeah, right.
And Data's like, I can be turned off. And then Ira Graves was like, and he goes, oh, I wonder
where's your magic button,
and he all ominously walks out and goes, Ira Graves is dead.
He's like, don't bother.
Don't bother.
Don't bother.
Oh man.
Don't you worry about nothing. I will give.
I'm glad, sir.
I will give the writers credit for doing a pretty good job of handling the various bits of exposition or information they had to convey, because a lot of it was awkward. Mm. Some of it is missing. Like I said, they don't really do a fully adequate explanation of what Ira Graves is good at.
They said molecular cybernetics.
Yeah, but which then you know it's like Dr. Soong, but it's like what did he do in molecular? He didn't invent Data. It's weird because he's all thinking he's better than Soong.
Yeah,
but Soong is the one who actually made Data, right? But the other examples that I think are good examples are like that whole business with Data and the beard. Right at the beginning, in addition to being funny, it also sets up the idea that Data will use a funny voice sometimes or act, because he's like, oh, doesn't it make me blah? The idea is that they put that in there to make it more plausible that it would take the Enterprise crew longer than the audience to realize that something's fucked up with Data.
Right, because
Geordi, he's immediately weird.
Because Geordi was straight up.
Sometimes he wants to be human so badly he can taste it. Sometimes I think he's becoming more human than any of us realize.
First of all, he uses the word dignity. Yeah. He talks about dignified beard at the beginning, and then they actually call that back at the end when he's lying on the floor. It wasn't until the second watching that I made this connection.
I had never made that connection.
Well, when he's on the floor at the end, he's like, when they woke him up off the floor and
talked about being in this undignified position.
Yeah, it was.
Data really is. This episode, he wants to be dignified.
It's why am I lying on the floor in this undignified position with the four of you standing over me displaying expressions of concern? Yes,
with your dicks out and you're just jerking off. Yeah. Sorry, I apologize. Right,
that's at the end.
I apologize.
That was unnecessary. That was Patrick.
It was an intrusive thought.
But yeah, right. So that was the whole. Like you're right. That was the whole point of this. Is where they're setting up. Data is acting weird and goofy and like trying to be all human and talking strangely about stroking his thoughtful beard and stuff like that. You know. And so they were like, okay, that's just what's going on with Data.
And quick aside, because you'll recall not too long ago we discussed A Fistful of Datas with guest Isaac. And
this is one of the truly great moments of your life.
And I, during that episode, I mentioned this episode because in that episode, Geordi tries to grow a beard and he asks Data what he thinks of it. And Data kind of is like, gives him an odd look. Mm. And I, in the podcast, I said, I think Data was was thinking back to the time that Geordi and lady, just regular old lady Troy, like Bachelor of Science Troy.
I didn't say that. I said there's just nothing to indicate whether she had. I said there's nothing to indicate.
This is evidence in your favor because she's not a very good psychologist.
Evidence! She was like, I have to go now.
She had to leave the room. She was laughing her ass off so much that she thought that Data looked ridiculous. I was like, I don't want to go to that psychologist. I respect Troy. Yeah. But that was an example of me being like, ah.
Maybe she has an assistant.
I don't know. Anyway, I just thought that was a funny, like, multi-season callback. I still stand by it. I think Data making fun of Geordi's beard was hearkening back to here when Geordi makes fun of Data's beard.
So Troy says, did Data say why he wants to see us? And Geordi says, he said something about his new image. I tell you, he's been acting strange lately. And then Data says, come in. And they're like, Data? And then Data goes, indeed, or stated more correctly, I wanted you to see, he goes, wait, I'm sorry. Data goes, Geordi, is Counselor Troy with you? Troy said, yes, I'm here, Data. Geordi said you wanted to see us. And he goes, indeed, or stated more correctly, I wanted you to see me. And I knew it wasn't going to be this, but part of me thought that he was going to be standing butt-ass naked with like a big giant hoo-ha going on.
Like, fully functional.
What do you think, guys? I'll spread arms spread out and legs out.
In your colloquial manner of speaking, does hoo-ha refer to a penis?
Yeah. What else would it refer to?
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't have a vagina.
That's a hoo-hoo.
A vagina. He could switch it out for a vagina, no doubt. Mm-hmm.
But
all manner of other genitalia.
While
we're at it.
When
Star Trek doesn't talk enough about genitalia. There's that Star Trek 6 balls on knees guy.
So what you were saying, Ira Graves was basically saying that he taught.
Yeah.
He was.
I taught him everything I know. He knows, so I deserve credit for anything he did.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I'm like, kind of like.
I'm like your grandpa.
Your grandpa. It's funny that Data actually called him his grandpa.
He got him to call him grandpa, and then he showed him his like secret button.
Yeah, I know. But I like how Data, without a hesitation, just immediately just starts referring to him as grandpa, which is cute.
So he says, Graves says, know him. I taught him everything he knows. You could say that I was the father of his work. That doesn't make sense because Data is his work. So he's the father of Data and also the grandfather of Data.
Yeah, he didn't say it right.
Because his work is Data. Soong's work is Data. Yeah. And to be the father, you're the father of your own work.
Yeah. He should have said grandfather.
But it was fucked up because when he goes,
absolutely no aesthetic value whatsoever.
That was not even a low key like. Diss on Soong himself, like because Data's like fucking modeled after Soong, so it's like he's like, oh, you didn't even bother to try to make this look good, and it's like an exact replica of Soong, so he's just like being a shit to Soong.
Yeah, clearly, and also, I mean, of course, your mileage may vary, but I think Data's largely considered relatively handsome, not just Brent Spiner, but I
was making no comment on whether he was good looking or not. I'm just saying Data looks like Soong, and so to call Data like shitty is you're calling Soong shitty.
You weren't making a comment. I was making a comment.
Data obviously looked...
I was saying I think Data's hot.
Data looked silly with that beard. Now, I want to know if it's because of the way they put the makeup on his skin mixed with the dark beard. Because it just made me think, like, I bet, like, Brent Spiner with a beard wouldn't look that ridiculous.
No, it was a weirdly obvious stage beard.
And the way, like, Data's hair is and all...
Speaking of beards, this is a rare Riker time in Star Trek when we still get babyface beard Riker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's the time in because there's just face
beardless Riker, and there's beard Riker.
Then there's distinguished beard Riker, but then this is a Riker with a beard where you can still see his baby face through the beard.
I'm gonna have to watch it again. I wasn't really paying because there's not much Riker in this episode. So
no,
I was not paying quite as much attention.
And what's the deal with fucking Pulaski? Like the whole
that
like,
could be a whole a separate podcast series, Dan.
Yeah, for real.
Well, okay,
start a YouTube channel.
Well, first of all,
and I like Pulaski.
First of all, this episode had some like interesting special effects. Mm. First of all, the one with Pulaski when she walks into you see the
I cannot allow that.
No. So we mustn't allow that, Dan.
Yeah. I will work on staying within myself.
Excellent. And you said first of all twice. So
wait, I was saying okay.
You said first of all the special effects, and then first of all the thing.
Okay,
I'm not calling that as a mistake. I'm giving you the opportunity to say it again if you would like.
The camera angle was from inside the turbo lift, looking out into. the hallways. Unusual. And all the people like walking around, milling about, and she walks into it, and the door closes. Yeah. And then when it opens again, it's the bridge.
Yeah, that was tight.
That was tight. I don't know. It was such a simple effect.
Like,
but
it was like early special effects.
It was
such
a, it was a simple effect, but it was really, it was effective for
it
me.
It was cool.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, what's weird is that they begin this episode with Pulaski all talking about the greatest mind in the universe. Mm-hmm. And then
exposition just telling us that.
And they open up with her. So you think she's going to play some kind of role in this. Mm. But like, the only reason they introduced that like, neighboring ship that was all in trouble.
Hypoxia.
The only reason they introduced that is so they had a reason to get rid of her for the rest of the episode. Because
that sounds
like,
good to me.
Because that, so they introduced, so it's like they have her as the first character, like the thesis character, if that's even a thing. But like they immediately boot her off for the rest of the show. You only hear her from her one more time in this episode, and it's like she's not on screen. It's off screen. She's like, I'll be there right away or something like that. And so like, I don't understand why they started with her, and I don't know what,
because nobody likes
and her. It was like weird that they like got rid of her so quickly from in the episode.
And presumably you're watching this episode and you're presuming that the setup with this extra emergency that the Enterprise has to deal with is going to result in these small number of officers trapped on the planet effectively. Yeah. And that would create some sort of tension, but there was no tension because
they never go back.
You presume the Enterprise is going to come back, and it does. And by the way, while they're on the planet, other than the, you know, other than the specific Data stuff with Graves, which happens off screen.
Data Graves.
It's not like a particularly tense situation. They land and they're like, yeah, there's this old dude and this girl that he's apparently managed to avoid molesting with this creepy
I know who you are and what you've done.
But
I bet that was a big
like the main jeopardy is how do we deal with this distinguished, arrogant old man? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we don't have to worry that long about it because the Enterprise comes back pretty fucking quick.
Yeah, and they introduced this whole idea of a near warp transport for no fucking reason.
Because
I thought it was in the wall.
Were they trying to add tension for those 5 minutes or something?
Well, it's early TNG. They're trying to have fun. Remember last week when we talked about the Lights of Xatar? There were multiple examples of the production not matching what the script was saying.
Right.
This is an example in this episode where clearly in their mind the writer was like, oh, the special effects dudes are gonna have so much fun. This is gonna be so cool. No, the ship just fucking stops as normal next to the planet. They beam down, and then
Troy makes a comment about it, then the ship goes away, and Troy's all like, no. She's all like, I thought I was in the wall. Yeah. And Worf is like, well, you were. It's like, oh wow, what is who fucking cares?
We didn't see that.
Ridiculous.
You told us that.
Right.
And again,
and it had no bearing on anything.
The ship, I mean, near warp, what is that? The ship wasn't moving. Moving
near
at all.
I know.
What is near warp?
So near warp can mean two things. It can either mean you're moving close to warp speed, but apparently in this meaning, this is how I assumed it meant, but in this meaning it just meant you transport like right before you go fast. Yeah. So it's like that's not really near warp.
And
can't they just go to warp from being like still?
That's what it looked like they did.
Yeah.
And they also like they were still for a long time. Yeah. Remember the Picard maneuver where it's all like fast.
Pew, pew,
and,
pew.
Oh yeah. I understand the other ship is in danger and all that stuff, but like it's like a minute.
This was no Picard.
30 seconds, 10 seconds. I don't know if that's going to make a difference.
This is idiotic.
Anyway.
Did you catch the line where Picard, Pulaski goes, they're talking about the outer hull breach on that ship. And Pulaski goes, if that's the case, they'll all be prone to severe hypoxia. Yeah. Their lives are at risk. We've got to help them. Picard goes, and what about Graves? And she's like, he's one man.
Was
she just saying like, fuck him?
It's the needs of the many.
The
needs of the many.
I know. I understand the needs of the many, but like, that's not a very, Picard had the right idea of let's try to save both. Like she was just like, fuck him.
I mean, I always agree with the let's try to save
both. Got a soft spot for some horrible old fossils.
But I also, one thing I respect about Pulaski, not that I think she's always correct, of course, but I do like that Pulaski, she's a matter of fact person. She tries not to let emotions get in the way, even if it's somebody, you know, she knows or cares about. Not that that's the case here, but
she hates Data.
But
I'm as healthy as a Regalian ox.
I'm as healthy as a Regalian ox.
Wouldn't it be a Regalian ox?
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Yes, it's,
were you wondering that too?
I was, because it's Rigel, right? Isn't it Rigel?
Yeah,
it's not Regale or Regel.
Exactly.
Or Riggle. Yeah. I don't know.
I know.
Don't even get me started on it.
They didn't coach fucking Morgan Shepherd on his
or Data.
I'm as healthy as a Regalian Ox.
Or Brent Spiner.
It's the same. It's the same issue. Maybe Back to the Future. The 1.21 gigawatts.
Maybe the only reason Brent Spiner said it like that is because Morgan Fairchild Williamson.
I think it was because of that.
Because Star Trek usually, like, they don't bother to keep consistent within their own pronunciation.
Shatner didn't bother.
But maybe Brent Spiner was like, I'm sick of them not being consistent within themselves. So this time I'm going to like make sure to be consistent, even though it's wrong.
Whether it was him or the other producers, definitely TNG took more.
All right.
We're going to take a break. And when we get back, we've got emails and other stuff. All right. We'll be right back.
You're dismissed, Mr. Data.
Removing the competition will not help you, Picard.
And we have returned.
I'm on my way.
Hello, Corrine.
Hello, what was it? Hello, Clarine?
Hello, Corrine.
Chlorine?
Corrine. Corrine Briannon.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're saying chlorine.
He does, yeah.
Hello, Corrine.
No, it doesn't.
That's just... this
is Corrine Briannon. Which one's the first name?
Is that Dr. Ira Graves or is that Dr. Jesse Knight over here?
Do you think William Morgan Shepherd was a smoker? Because like, it sounds like a real coughing something up real for real there. Yeah. Doesn't sound
he's
like
a dirty
fake
old dude. Yeah.
Also, although he only died a few years back.
That's right.
He lived.
Also, it was weird when they put him when he was dead. Ira Graves in the torpedo casket.
Except these torpedoes have windows in them.
But like, yeah, and for some reason the angle and like however they had it, it made him look like he had one of those Knights of the Round beards where it's like he's got the mustache with the chin strap thing.
And the brown in his mustache and beard showed out.
Much more there. I rewound it to like when he was walking around, and it's the brown is there, but you don't see it that prominently. Yeah. But when he's in the thing, you see these prominent like brown beard with the what do you call the beard that just goes the little slit?
I'm
like, imperial,
like the slit beard.
I'm profoundly upset that the audience cannot see Dan's miming of this. I know I mentioned Dan's
physicality
often, but this is a particularly interesting.
Okay, let me describe it. Yeah. So you take your index finger, point it upwards, and put it. Sideways, put your index finger pointing upwards against in the middle of your chin, so it's pointing up towards your nose, and then move it up and down, rub the chin up and down. Yeah. It's that kind of beard.
Yeah, but then you took the other finger and you made like a T shape.
Oh yeah,
you were moving the T side to side and the bottom part of the T up and down.
Yeah.
don't say yeah like that ever again on the podcast. That was a nighttime yeah.
Oh no. After hours.
That was a nighttime or Saturday afternoon yeah. That was not an on podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an expression, Data.
I enjoyed the burial at sea, not the first time they've done it on Star Trek. It is funny though that even though coffins in real life don't have windows, and previous burials, like when Spock is buried, quote unquote, buried at sea in Star Trek II, his torpedo doesn't have a window.
No.
I guess they have some that have windows or. Okay, look, I know it's TNG, it's replicators, you can make any change quick.
I think Ira Graves gets a fucking.
But they're like,
we're going to
throw this fancy dude's body. We're not going to keep it and take it to a starbase or Earth or anything. We're just going to do a burial at sea, even though he wasn't, I don't think, in Starfleet. Or the Navy or anything. And but he needs a window. He needs a window on the coffin so that in the infinitesimally small chance that some aliens come across him, they'll be able to look in and they'll be like, hey, he's wearing like one of those weird Star Trek surgical suits with a weird little hat, and he's got a medieval beard, like Dan pointed out.
Oh, I can understand that.
Okay, I did forget one or two things at the beginning because we got so excited.
You forget to mention that Corrine kind of looks like Molly Shannon.
Does Corrine look like?
I think Corrine looks like Molly Shannon.
A little bit.
I don't think she looks anything.
I think
like
she looks a lot like her. Like, look at her nose and her mouth.
Nose
looks like Molly Shannon.
Nose and her mouth.
All right.
Not in her IMDb picture, but in this episode.
Okay. Well,
look at it again.
I'm going to keep an open mind about that.
No, you
man.
Won't.
I will.
You will not.
I will.
I don't buy it.
For the first time since I've known you. I don't believe you.
Frustratingly, definitely not the first time.
Yeah.
My recollection, I don't see the connection, but I will keep an open mind to go back and look. And again, it gives me yet another excuse to watch this episode, which, especially compared to some of the episodes we've watched recently, I quite enjoyed overall. Yeah.
When you get to be my age, you will understand.
Not a perfect episode, but a fun one. Now, briefly, because I did forget to do it at the beginning, since we just barreled right into our discussion of the episode.
We
do have an email.
Shame on you.
We have an email from our old buddy Isaac, and Isaac says...
These are our messages.
Thank you. It's a good reminder because I keep forgetting about that. Isaac says, hello, Wingus, Dingus, and Thingus.
Hi.
I enjoyed your chat about what pregnant pause means, followed by a brief chat about Star Trek, and then a game about how a sound clip from Star Trek makes me freak out in the corner.
This is slowly driving him into like the depths of insanity.
So Isaac is referencing a conversation we had last week when we discussed TOS's The Lights of Xatar. We made some reference to a pregnant pause and had a little, little debate about that.
What?
So Isaac goes on to say, I thought pregnant pause meant that there were activities... yes, even those ones that you can't do during pregnancy. In other words, there are certain things that you oughtn't do.
I don't get it.
You would pause doing
sometimes
certain things.
You can't do that.
Okay, perhaps let's do it.
Smoking cigarettes or consuming alcohol.
It's just a crazy idea.
I don't know. What's another thing? You're not supposed to eat sushi.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Rooting around in cat litter, just sticking
your
finger.
Sabotage, right? Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Lots of things you don't want to do during pregnancy. But yes,
crack.
No,
you don't want to smoke crack.
That's not.
It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now.
To continue Isaac's email, he says, due to my age and gender, I didn't research the matter, but instead typed this loudly.
You cheated.
I'm correct. You're not. I wanted to explain it in a condescending way so you'd understand, but I didn't know if you'd be clever enough to get it still. Yes, I'm talking to you, Wingus.
I wish I could believe that.
I think I might be Wingus, but I can't remember if
I forget
who fully
was
sorted what that out. And he concludes by saying, next time, Dingus. Okay, so I think I'm Wingus.
I'm Dingus.
You're Dingus. Next time Dingus runs a Star Trek by the numbers, can I be on? I want to win an IGST t-shirt. He's referencing another episode we did. We re-released
it. Yes, of course it is.
We re-released it.
Yes, sir.
Dan, would you please play the Starfleet Academy wiki? Yep. That's useful when I can't say the fucking word. Re-released.
Yeah.
We re-released an old bonus episode from, I think, 2021, Star Trek by the Numbers, one of my favorite episodes of IGST. Maybe not yours, but it's definitely mine.
I liked it.
It's when...
holograms?
Dan did a whole game show where he did a bunch of research on various numbers in Star Trek and then quizzed Jesse and I on it.
He totally
pain is unpleasant.
Schooled us.
It was a great deal of fun. Perhaps more fun than you're thinking. So go check it out. It's only... Few slots back.
Way more fun than
the re-release is just a few slots back. Okay, and then of course he concludes.
What an achievement!
Lots of love for Isaac from 365, and he's abbreviating his podcast Trek 365. But because Isaac is from Australia, they have to shorten things, right? And so now he's referring to it as apostrophe 365.
Thanks, Agamus.
Oh, by the way, remember Dan talked about maybe retiring the thanks, Agamus.
That's right, I did.
And a number of people, including longtime listener Kara,
and both of us.
Part of me thinks that it was only Kara that said.
No, other people mentioned it, but
I think both of us said that.
She was the most prominent in public. was like, no, don't lose that. And then we agreed with her, and we said for now we'll keep it. And she said in the YouTube comment on last week's episode, she said thanks, Agamus.
Oh, right.
I thought you'd appreciate
that. That rules.
Yes, it does rule. But speaking of which, so that was the email. The other thing I forgot And again, thank you, Isaac, for the email. The other thing I forgot was to ask you, Dan, if there were any Dan's bits this week.
Data, what's wrong with you?
Duties or no duties?
It's a little late to start talking.
I know. I'm just asking because I don't want to. If we do have them, I want to make sure we get to them.
What about there's a that's an order?
Oh, and I also, by the way, Jesse, you're not off the hook. I wanted to see if there are any Jesse's Lessies this week. Jesse's Lessies. That's like an Australian.
Lesson.
Yeah, it's like it's like short. It's like Australian for lesson. I'm guessing.
Jesse's are you guessing about Jesse's Lessies?
I want to.
How many guesses do you have?
I want a show called Jesse's Lessies. Dan is not as interested in this show.
he didn't like my wordplay. So fuck him.
What was you it? Were a bit rude to me.
That's a keeper. Like I said, I think there's a lot of potential. Yeah. A lot of potential keepers in this run. Dan's bits.
Might make you feel better if Dan's you said bits. You were sorry.
Well, there's no duty or no duties.
All right.
There's no duties or no duties. There's a that's an order.
Okay.
There's a that's an order, baby. Yeah.
That's an order.
Right. I have an optional list. It's just entitled Graves Had to Have Known.
Graves Had to Have Known.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm intrigued by
Graves
that.
Graves should have known.
All right. So how about that? You want to do the that's an order now?
Sure.
Because I'm interested. I don't quite remember that's
sure.
The, that's an order.
Okay. So Data says
real quick, Dan, as a reminder to the audience, that's an order. This is a thing that comes up every now and then when a character says that's an order, and then Dan adjudicates whether or not it is a cliched and lame use of that's an order, or if it's an acceptable use given the context of the episode.
Yes.
Yes. So Data says, he says, I am sure that will not be necessary, Captain. I am fully capable of running a circuit check on myself. I'm sorry, let me restate that. This is what Graves Data says.
Graves Data.
Yeah. I am sure that will not be necessary, Captain. I am fully capable of running a circuit check on myself. It will immediately determine any abnormalities. Abnormalities. And then Picard says,
that's how they know him saying it that way is how they knew it wasn't Data.
Data
doesn't have a bunch of fucking marbles
although
in his mouth.
Strangely enough, if you notice, Graves Data didn't use any contractions.
No, I did notice that.
What the fuck is up with that?
Well, at first I thought it was just him trying to not get caught, but he didn't necessarily know that Data had the whole node contraction thing.
And plus he did a piss poor job in all every other aspect of not getting caught. Plus he did it after he was already caught. So
yes.
Yeah.
No.
So but I don't know why. Maybe something about the positronic network brain like forced him not to use contractions. I don't know.
Did he use contractions?
He didn't use contractions.
No, I'm saying when he was Graves, before he died. Maybe that's just Graves' affectation.
I doubt it.
Maybe Soong gave Data that affectation because he remembered it from Graves. Huh? Headcanon?
He goes, because at one point he goes at the end, he goes, I would not come up here if I were you, Captain. You'd say, I wouldn't come up here if I were you, Captain.
Like, but I would say that in the context of having just pooped in one of the cyber toilets.
Yeah.
These were all accidents.
On the deck there.
These were all deck. These were all accidents. I didn't intend. I cannot allow that. I can't allow that. Mm. Like, come on. I don't believe that Graves talks like that. Okay, starting again. I am sure that will not be necessary, Captain. I am fully capable of running a circuit check on myself. It will immediately determine any abnormalities. That even sounded weird. Abnormalities. And then Picard responds with, do it. That's an order. Mm. It was unnecessary. He already said do it.
Right.
He said, do it. That's all the information you need.
Do it.
And if you're going to say that's an order, you got to at least give them enough time to like try to answer you before you even consider saying that's an order.
I think I agree with you, Dan, because if I recall correctly, and forgive me because my recall may be defective, but if I recall correctly, I think at this stage in the episode, Data may have been like a little weird, but he wasn't like a super dickhead yet. Is that true? Or was he already being a dickhead?
Being a dickhead?
Because he might. Like I mean, maybe he was being partly a dickhead. Because I can understand that that's an order if Data has been like really recalcitrant for a long time.
He was talking back to Picard.
Data was being like really punchable at that moment. I wanted to punch him because Data was like, that's when he was like, if you wish to apologize, I'm prepared to listen. After he was being a dick, and then Picard was like, Picard's like, you want me to apologize? And he's like, you were pretty rude to me. And then Picard's like, Data, something has obviously gone wrong with your circuitry. And he's like, that's ridiculous. I'm as healthy as a Regalian ox. And he goes, I wish I could believe that. I would accompany you to the sick bay, but I doubt that would do us any good. And he's like, sick bay? Are you ill, Captain? And so I was like, oh, you motherfucker. It made me mad. And then he's like, I'm getting there. I'm going to have engineering run a full physical on you. And he's like, that won't be necessary, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, do it. That's an order. I don't know. At that point, I don't think it added anything.
Right.
It would have worked better for me if he said do it and then Data hesitated and wasn't doing it.
That's why I said you gotta at least give him a chance to obey the command or respond in some way. You can't just say it.
You gotta.
Because when you say do it, that's already a command. Yeah. So you're following a command up with a stronger command, so why not just start with the stronger command? Mm. Or I don't know.
You gotta, Captain Picard. You gotta.
Try to remember that, boy.
Boy!
Try to remember that, boy.
Yes.
It was funny because when he was all like, try to remember that boy. You'll understand when you're my age. And like Wesley was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like,
you're 15 years old.
And then like, and like Riker's just back there. You'd think he'd be pissed, but Riker's all laughing. He like Riker thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah. There's not much Riker this episode except for him being like not a very good first officer because he's not paying attention.
Oh, at the end he's like, do you remember when you wrestled that Klingon tar? What did he say?
He just made up the idea that Data wrestled with Klingon Targ.
Does wrestling a Klingon Targ ring a bell? What? As opposed to the Romulan Targ? By the way...
Fair point. I mean, of course. Of course. This is Tony season Targ. 2 TNG. We understand. Yeah. This is... retrospect makes it seem sillier than it is. Mm-hmm. But it was a funny punchline. It was a good way to end the episode.
I know that, Data.
TOS style. They should have had that little TAS... you know, the fun little jingly music?
Right.
You just did the Inspector Gadget music.
Well, you know what I mean.
Data.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Did you have the part where Data's like, did I win? You know? Because that's a good punchline, you know? With the Targ, you know?
Did I win?
Yeah, that's a good punchline. I mean, out of context, not as funny, but as presented and as portrayed by Brent Spiner at the time, I thought it was fine.
Spiney.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. 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 It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. 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 It's a waste of time now.
Freaking out.
It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now.
Dan's meta art.
It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. It's a waste of time now. It's a waste of time now.
If you're going to play it, I'm going to play it with my
waste of time. It's a waste of time now. Waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. Waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. 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 Waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. Waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. Waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. Waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now. Waste of time now. It's a waste of time now. It's a waste of time now. It's a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now.
Totally separate topic.
That is ridiculous.
I've been wondering recently why we're having so much trouble getting sponsors.
Ridiculous!
I've been wondering about that.
This is idiotic. What the hell?
Getting back to our discussion.
Of what?
Of the Star Trek, The Next Generation. The Schizoid Man.
Chief O'Brien?
Do we want to talk about how there was an awesome rare bridge perspective shot?
I would like to talk about...
Or should
we
talk about the episode itself more?
No, because you mentioned the...
Oh, the list?
Well, we'll get to the list soon, but the
off and wrong soon.
Men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this.
The elevator.
This gives life to thee.
The Star Trek elevator.
Oh yeah, the ones that people like when they can't climb the stairs and they like sit on that thing that like slowly takes them up the stairs. That's ridiculous in engineering.
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the turbo lift.
Oh, you're talking about the turbo? Yeah, I thought you were talking about
my brain farted and I was
forgetting.
I thought
you were talking about that very slow moving engineering one where you press the button and it goes. He's like, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you, Graves. Just wait. Right. Just wait another 5 minutes.
It's like
I'll
the
be there in a minute.
At the mall. Or
yeah.
I was merely referencing your previous comment about the interesting shot from inside the turbo lift.
Gobbling up.
Turbo.
Goblins. I love goblins.
Gobbling up.
A fine, full, dignified beard.
Now, Dan, back to you with for you to describe this rare bridge shot.
A stargazer. That is what you are.
So at the beginning of the bridge scene, after Data beard scene, I paused it and I just looked at the bridge for a while because you don't get that perspective of the bridge that often. It's the perspective from like where, what do you call those dudes in the back of the bridge?
The centurions?
Like the, what?
I don't know.
You know, on the bridge, like where
there's
warp,
like different
warp stands,
stuff.
There's science stations and stuff. There's all sorts of operation stations.
It's all like redundancies.
They're just bridge officers.
Yeah, well, like in the back of the bridge, like in this, it's usually perspective from like the front of the bridge towards the back.
There's a science.
This was
engineer.
This was a perspective from the back of the bridge towards the view screen, and you don't get that perspective too much because it gave
like,
you a
like looking over the arch and everything.
Right, it gave you a full like a full perspective of what that set looks like from the other directions. The way the consoles curve with the wood makes it like looks kind of cool, but it makes it seem like it's really inconvenient to do any work on because the wood thing curves and like over and the consoles curve with it. It's not like a flat console on a curved wood. The consoles themselves curve. How are you supposed to do work on something that's like, that's not flat? It's all weird and gubular.
And then it all explodes on you.
It's like one of them crazy keyboards.
It was like such an 80s thing to do, but like it's not there for usability. It's there just to like look cool, right?
So you're talking about you got your UI and you got your UX.
And you
this is not good UX.
Like you want those consoles to lay flat. You don't want them all curved and weird. And really there should be steps going up to the back, not some goofy curved floor, because that's a trip hazard right there. Yeah. And you really get a good perspective of how the floor curves down. Like we already knew it curved up, but from that perspective it looks like a steep tripping hazard, you know. And actually more dangerous going up than down, I'd say, because it's like when you go up, you probably ram your foot into something. But it's kind of cool to see where everything is in relation to each other. Like, for example, like, so you got the view screen at the front, and then the captain's office is like directly to the left, or is there something between this view screen and the captain's office?
Yeah, well, there's another turbo lift.
There's another turbo lift. I can't remember if the turbo lift is to the left of the captain's or the right.
And then the battle bridge is on the other side, but you don't see that as much. That turbo lift.
Do we ever see the battle bridge?
Well, we see the battle bridge, but we don't see them walking into that.
There's a couple episodes.
Because that. Like,
when do we see the battle bridge?
Multiple episodes.
Very early.
Anytime they do a saucer separation, they're using the battle bridge because that's what you have to use when the saucer's not there.
So here's the deal with this.
It's the bridge from like the Star Trek Star Trek 4.
So when they separate the saucer, they must have to like evacuate all the people that are living in the non-saucer part.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of practical implications of that.
And like
one would presume mostly, as I recall, and this might even been stated on screen, it's definitely in the technical manual. In principle, the idea is like all the families and schools and shit are in the saucer section because the idea is the saucer section is like scoots along and does its own thing, even though it doesn't have warp, while the rest of the ship goes on and does.
I'm wondering how much of the rest of the ship is livable and how much is like the nacelles are just like things all for propulsion and mechanicry.
Well, they got cetacean knobs down there somewhere.
So like the nacelles are just like you can't go into the nacelles, can you?
Well, maybe if you're in Star Trek Enterprise and you've got to hunker down in the expanse.
Or maybe you're in Star Trek Discovery and you need to have a giant like flying scene inside of the Enterprise where you're like flying some spaceships
in this like an infinite
cavernous
amount of space.
Cavernous like room.
I'm not a Discovery hater. I quite enjoyed much of it. Flawed, but good stuff. Enjoyable show. I did agree with with the critique of the ludicrous decision to have turbo lifts just flying around like empty girdery space.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand because if the idea was like, well, it looks cool. No, it didn't.
No.
It was so nonsensical. It didn't even look
cool. And wait, where's the entrance to the conference room? Is that like to the left behind?
Yes, that's behind. If you're looking towards the wharf,
isn't there like a potty to the front right?
Yeah, if you look
at potty
we don't get to see it, but if you look at the Starfleet technical manual,
captain's log.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
I'm so stupid.
You.
I'm so easily.
Sabotage.
Easily amused by poop.
Poop.
Poop. Little bit of poop.
Oh, a little poop. Poop.
I don't get it.
You get it.
You get the poops.
You get the poops.
It's the best part.
Such an upsetting.
Call me Grandpa.
Such an upsetting upsetting clip.
Call me Grandpa.
So, Dan, I want to do your list when we get back after we do Where the Hell Have I
we
Heard
don't
That
have
Before.
To.
No, I want to do that. But I do think we have enough time.
I'm always like saying, like, we don't have to do it. No big deal.
Yeah, I know. You're like breaking, like, rule number
one. I don't know.
Rule number one. Conan O'Brien explains this very clearly.
Yeah, always treat your shit like it's the best shit.
Because the audience wants to have a good time, and you can manipulate the audience. Self-deprecation is okay, though. It's just that, you know, there's a balance.
This is not my fault.
But I do think we have enough time before the break to at least briefly touch on the creepy relationship.
I am glad, sir.
And again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, that the writers had to do some weird, twisty stuff in order to kind of justify the things they clearly wanted to do, because they wanted to have Ira Graves as Data get jealous because now he thinks he's got a chance with this girl.
I'm aware of your interest in her.
And
because he's fully functional.
And like, like, on the one hand, it's like, okay, when he's an old man, he's attracted to this young woman, and he clearly didn't pursue it, and you could say, that's cool. Okay, I get it. I get how you can look at this as a structure where it's like, there's nothing weird or offensive, yet still it felt kind of odd, especially when they had her saying, like, I know I felt some feelings from him and a few for him. That's what I kind of didn't buy. Yeah. But on the other hand, it's this dude who's like alone on a whole planet with this one gal. Like, that's a weird setup. Yeah. Like, I get why they
like,
again,
what's her job?
They had to do it to do this plot, but it seems like a ludicrous scenario.
Yeah. As a side quest, Pulaski was all like talking about how Graves lived in near isolation on the planet. That makes it sound like he's living alone with a few people wandering in and out. Yeah. But it's not that he lived in near isolation. He lived with another person. What is she, chopped liver?
Yeah.
Like, by near isolation, she's saying Graves lives with another person. Mm. So by saying near isolation, it's just totally discounting Corrine's existence entirely, you know?
And then on
you
top of
say,
it,
like, Graves lives on the planet with one other person. When you say in near isolation, it's like saying, like, oh, but the other people don't matter.
Who wrote this fucking episode?
Tracy Torme was one of the writers, son of Mel Torme.
Oh, wow.
But to be fair to Tracy Torme, and there were other writers as well that I forget because I got so enamored with Tracy Torme. But Tracy Torme worked on a lot of other, like, really cool, like, sci-fi, especially sci-fi. Familiar, yeah. So a lot of 90s, 80s and 90s sci-fi, Tracy Torme.
Mel Torme is tight, though.
Yeah, Mel Torme is tight, and Tracy Torme, I think, is at least associated with a lot of cool sci-fi. But I did want to mention the other thing is that it's not just that he's living on the planet alone with this young woman who is his assistant, but she's also the daughter of a previous colleague. But she was like, was she born and raised on the planet, or at least brought there as very young? But that other person is dead, presumably. And presumably the mother also was the mother there at one point, and then also died. Did Graves kill all these people?
Are they on a gas giant with rings, or are they on one of the moons? Because I saw,
I kind of presumed one of the moons.
Yeah, you would think, because otherwise, it doesn't make
jealousy. Intense burning jealousy.
Classic example. We've talked about it many times before. I just think this is a particularly weird and egregious version of them setting up a scenario because they want to kind of tell a story with certain beats, and they're just expecting the audience to suspend disbelief enough, despite the ludicrousness of so many of these setups, like the near warp transport, the other disaster, the emergency disaster that you can't even stop for 1 minute for, but seems to be resolved extremely simply.
We don't even see those people.
We see nothing about
Constantinople.
Right. It wasn't the Istanbul.
No, it wasn't.
It was the Constantinople.
It was the not Constantinople.
All of that, and then like we just said, near isolation, living alone with the daughter of his dead colleague.
And it was kind of messed up because Troy was like blowing up Graves' spot by telling Corrine that Graves had the hots for her. Nobody likes a gossipy empath, you know?
Also, isn't that like against... I mean, he's not a patient, but I don't think that matters. Well, I think the idea is it's a de facto, like if you're using your skills as a psychologist,
as a counselor,
or a priest, or other, you have legal. I mean, we're assuming they're the same.
But what I just said, nobody likes a gossipy empath. If you have sort of telepathic or semi telepathic abilities, you don't want to be around someone who's a gossip on top of that.
I agree with that.
And that's what she was doing.
Yes, but then I was adding the point that in addition to you being 100% correct about that, Dan, there is also the professional and probably legal requirement to not fucking give people's secrets away this man is sick. This is a sick man. His mind is dying.
He's got
a terminal disease.
Dicky Dog's disease. What's it called?
No, you were right. It's called Dicky Dog's disease.
I'd make you feel better if you said you were sorry.
But you get what I'm saying, right? Like, it's not just like not cool. It seems like really weirdly unprofessional. And normally Troy is better about those types of things.
She usually is.
The plot required in this case, the plot required that she gab to this gal to be like, oh yeah, that old dude, totally into you. She's all like, yeah, I know he was. No, a little into him, but you know, what are you going to do?
Androids don't feel such things.
Yeah, I didn't
when they're taken over by Graves.
I didn't like how flippantly she was saying that. I had no problem with the line as written. The way it was performed, it was a little bit like, fuck Data.
Yeah.
Right. She's filling in for Pulaski.
Yes, and but you do know better.
I know Troy doesn't. She doesn't think that way. Anyway, I don't know. I'm being a dickhead. Anyway, okay, we got to take a break. But when we get back, we'll do Where the Hell We Heard That Before. We'll do Dan's List, and we'll conclude this conversation, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks. All right, we'll be right back.
Mr. Data, you will come with me right now. Do you understand me?
I am almost finished, sir.
You are finished, Data.
All art is artifice, Dan. Don't forget that.
Artifice. I've had to remember. Fartifice.
And we're back for the first time, for real.
I can hear you coming, Captain.
The third break.
Yeah. Just existing. Just existing.
Just a crazy. Just a crazy. Is that what? A little dog is that? It's kooky and crazy.
That's what he says.
Just existing. Just existing.
He makes that noise.
Yeah. That's some good out of context acting. Good stuff.
Do you know where that is from?
Not precisely.
It's from.
It's from your.
Well, opinions.
Geordi says,
that's a good one. All right. Well, we are back for the.
I want to ask real quick.
Third and final segment of this podcast.
I want to ask real quick that laser lasso thing they did. When they did the, when they were doing the,
Now, Data, you remember the psychotronic stability examination.
And, you know, he looked all grumpy. That was the only time, like, Ira Graves was flummoxed, as he's just got this, like, he's like, these things on his head. But, like, Geordi had, like, a laser lasso on his head. Do you guys remember this? It was, like, a circle laser. Like, it was, like, a halo-y thing.
Geordi did or Data?
Geordi was...
He was like, putting,
I think I remember.
He was putting it on. He was he was emitting it onto Data's head.
I enjoy the term laser lasso, but it's not
laser.
I'm not remembering that exactly.
Laser lasso.
Yet another reason I'm going to go back and watch this
now,
episode.
Okay, so did when, they,
laser
when they
lasso?
Laser lasso.
Right, laser.
Some people prefer to pronounce when they it laser. I don't like that.
When they, I prefer laser lasso.
Light amplification when, through sexy something. Okay,
when they remastered TNG, did they add any effects or change any effects like they did with TOS?
I think so.
My understanding is that by and large, it's all as close to the original as possible, because they had most of those elements, but I do imagine there were some things that had to be maybe a recomposed, in addition to just being recomposed, maybe recomposed.
Do you remember, Jesse, any scene where Geordi was shooting some kind of blue halo thing that was going around Graves Data's head? Nobody, any of you remember this?
I thought I saw
that. I mean, vaguely. Yeah. I have vague memories.
That's crazy, because to me, I like remember the shit out of it because it looks so cool.
Well, I was thinking more like
because
like you were just talking about, Data Graves is all he's got those things on his head and he looks all yeah. confused because he doesn't seem to immediately understand what was it, a psycho fantastic.
Now, Data, you remember the psychotronic stability examination?
Psychotronic stability examination.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh man, I gotta take one.
So
of those.
Yeah, it was like a blue, but part of it there was like a blue thing that ran around his head, like looked like a lasso around his head.
And she just learned that from Starfleet Academy, you know, the psychotronic jiggity janks.
Jiggity janks.
Flags and legs.
Well, it was a good question. Dan said he wanted to quickly ask a question. He asked it.
Yeah,
and
I did.
We answered it.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's satisfied with the answers, but the answers are
who
honest.
Gives a fuck?
Honest.
After you'd like to see the computer demo,
I'm aware of your interest in her.
Okay. So I think we'll have a pretty swift entry in Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? This week. So Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before is our weekly game where we play a sound from somewhere in the Star Trek universe, and you, the listener, or however you're receiving this, I don't know, you might be reading transcripts. That's fine.
Ooh.
Sort of like a reverse audiobook. It's
that's
a
tight.
Written podcast.
I want to do that.
However,
I cannot allow that.
However you're receiving
you're
this.
You're such a meanie.
We play a clip. It's not the clips that Dan's playing right now.
What do you mean?
And I know because you can't see us. You don't. You,
really,
you,
Grandpa?
You can't
There's
see,
nothing to see.
You can't see Dan's Cheshire Cat grin.
Pain is unpleasant.
As he's playing sound clips, because I'm talking about, I'm going to play a sound clip.
You condone homicide, sir?
It's part of a game.
Yeah.
So he's having a good
he's
time
trying to hog it.
Over here.
Nonsense!
So, yes, you, the listener, get to guess, and that's what some listeners have done. And
I am glad, sir.
I bet they're good guesses.
Well, I'm going to play the clip from last week, and then I'll give Dan and Jesse a chance to submit guesses. And then we'll go to the listener guesses, and we'll talk about...
stand here and be insulted.
Who if anybody won? And then we will play the clip for next week, and then you can submit your guesses between now...
Submit!
And sometime in the future, we'll explain...
You know what that was all about?
Explain that in a moment. So, the clip from last week goes thusly.
Not exactly a vacation planet, huh?
Mm-mm. Not unless you like ammonia tornadoes.
Oh.
Particularly
sometimes I think he's becoming more human than any of us realize. Sometimes he wants to be human so badly he can taste it.
So what Dan is doing there is he's playing unrelated clips.
Do you know what that was all about?
But the clip that I had played previously with the ammonia.
What the hell?
The ammonia tornadoes, which I'm very charmed by.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Dan is. I suppose Jesse is as well.
I am.
He doesn't necessarily emote as clearly as Dan or I.
I don't think I'd enjoy the smell, but.
Your childlike mind cannot appreciate the time-worn wisdom of my words.
But.
It's a dramatic landscape.
But the ammonia tornadoes clip, that's the one that people needed to guess where it was from and give us whatever information
where
they could.
Where the hell have they heard that?
Where the hell have they heard that before? But first to you two gentlemen, do either of you have a guess as to where the hell you may have heard that?
I don't want
to
spoil before. It for anyone.
Oh, so Dan knows.
Oh, really?
Dan's confident.
Like, I know I've seen it. I just really don't recall, like, what the title of that episode.
Yes, but happened. You do know better.
It's like, you know, I just remember little bits of things.
Yeah.
It must be so hard for you.
And Jesse, you're not
been a long life.
Jesse, you're not just referring to Star Trek.
I'm referring to just about everything.
I got the impression when you sort of morosely said, like, I just sort of remember bits of
just
things.
Just little things.
You mentioned your impending death, Grandpa.
Exactly.
Okay, so... Dan is confident enough that he doesn't want to submit a guess. Jesse
is about to die.
Jesse is confident in his lack of confidence in the answer. So we will go to the listeners. And here is what the listeners have to say. Mike T. That's his
Mike D.
That's his last initial. His last name is not T or T. spelled.
I don't get it.
Does he know I used to?
I don't believe so. There was no evidence to suggest.
I don't get it.
He may. But evidence! On Facebook, he sends in this guess. He says, I think this is from the TNG episode Pen Pals, where Data makes friends with that long-fingered gal.
Right.
Thanks, Agamus!
I watched that episode not too long ago. That's a good one. That's a, I don't know if it's a classic, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's neat. All right. So he's got a guess for Pen Pals. I believe that's a season two
Peen Pals. Are they called Peen Pals?
That's what you call it? You call it Peen Pals?
Yeah.
Of course you would.
He's my number one dad.
Megan from Facebook has suggested or says, this is tricky. It's TNG, of course. Probably early TNG. I'll guess Shades of Grey because I haven't seen that one in forever.
Oh, shit.
Thanks, Agamus!
So it's another vote for an early TNG, this time Shades of Grey. And then Jorgen from Mastodon follows a similar logic. He says, hello, West, Keaton, and Kilmer.
Hi.
Do you get it?
West Keaton. Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Right.
Adam West.
Batman.
Various Batmans.
Jorgen has done the three name gag.
That's very clever.
Originated by Isaac, but he's made us Batman.
I like that.
I like that too.
Val Kilmer.
It's just a crazy idea.
Jorgen says, this feels like season one or two TNG to me. Thinking of gross planets makes me think of The Last Outpost, the episode that introduced the Ferengi. But I won't feel bad if I'm wrong, because I've learned from Isaac that I should expect to be tricked, unless that was itself a trick that Isaac is in on with you guys.
Fair enough.
This game really does get in your head.
Thanks, Agamus! The thing is if you thought like Isaac on this, though, he'd be like curled up in the corner, like rocking back and forth, like muttering to himself. Dingus, it's okay.
It's fine. And Isaac's son would be like, Dad, we've got to go for a ride.
I know.
And avoid the wallabies. These are all inside jokes that you'd get if you listen to a few recent episodes. All right, so those are the three guesses we got. And I'm here to tell you, which kind of surprised me, no correct guesses this week.
Oh, wow, dude.
All three of those. All three of those were.
No clapping noises today.
In the right direction. Do you have a clapping?
See, if I was going to. I was going to play this.
Is that from this episode? No. What is that from? Oh, I forgot.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's the Chakotay. That's right. The Chakotay.
I was gonna play that sound, but because no one got it, I didn't play it.
No. Yes.
This sound.
You didn't play it.
They didn't play it. Never.
I was kind of surprised. I was kind of surprised that nobody got this. Dan, since you're
Billy so, Claiborne, Billy Clanton.
Since you're so
Billy Claiborne.
Since you're
Ike Clanton.
What Dan do you think it is? Because you seem to think you know, and I think you may know.
Oh, I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
What do you mean? This is the point
nobody
where we give the answer.
Dude.
Now we're supposed to give the answer. Now Dan's backtracking because he's like, I don't know. I don't want to look stupid. And
no, I don't want
to
spoil it.
I think you're right. You just want me to say the answer, and then you'll say, "Yeah, that's what I thought." Is that the plan?
No, I just don't want to spoil it.
Okay, yeah, but I'm gonna
spoil it.
I don't want to make you feel bad for me knowing it and you not.
No, I do know it because I picked it.
Oh.
I picked it, so I don't...
You can pick your friends and you pick your nose, but you can't have a noisy oyster or annoys an oyster.
Right.
A noisy noise annoys
an oyster. You can oscillate its tits a lot.
What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? A noisy noise annoys an oyster.
Noisy, noisy, noisy.
What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? A noisy noise annoys an oyster.
So, Dan, you're not gonna provide your guess?
No.
Because if you don't provide your guess, everyone's gonna think that you're I don't know what
trouble.
I don't know what the right adjective in this case is.
Right.
Well, I can tell you that the correct answer, it is TNG. It is early TNG. It is season two TNG. Mm. It is an episode we have previously discussed with Isaac as a guest. In episode 243 of IGST, which is short for It's Got Star Trek, the episode in question is The Royale.
Oh. With cheese?
No, not mit cheese, mit cheese.
Gobbling up
a
fine,
that was a full, little, a
dignified
little
beard.
The Royale.
Gobbling up
back.
Ammonia tornadoes.
Mm.
I always like that. How Geordi said ammonia.
Yeah, it's pretty clever.
Okay. I was about to say good job, everybody, but no, everyone failed this week. No.
I am glad, sir.
A failure.
Something has gone wrong.
But you can, you audience can make up for it. It's not big. I don't care if everyone gets it wrong, but send in your guesses. We like guesses. That's the fun part. Send in guesses.
It's about the the spirit of it.
Exactly. The engagement. Next week, you have a chance. Actually, not next week. In a couple of weeks, I think, right? I think that's what we decided. Dan's going on vacation.
Special bits next
Dan's going on vacation. And our next episode, spoiler alert, I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to talk about Deep Space Nine's fascination. And when that came up in the algorithm, I'm familiar with that episode, and I was like, I want Dan's sound clips in that episode. It's a Loxana Troy episode, so we want Dan there. So we're gonna push our next official episode to 2 weeks from now. So you've got 2 weeks. Friday, 2 weeks from now, to submit your guess for what this week's Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? And I will play that clip shortly. I'll note that Jesse and I are planning on, we'll try to do something fun for you next week.
It'll be fun.
We'll do some fun bonus stuff.
We'll have some fun.
Yeah. The clip for next week, 2 weeks from now that you can guess, I'm going to play it once. Dan might giggle, and then I'm going to play it again.
He might squiggle.
And then we'll continue our discussion of the Schizoid Man. All right, so here is the clip for Where the Hell Have You Heard This Before?
You.
Do you mind telling me what's going on here, crewman?
We're making dinner.
I see.
That's the clip. So, you want to hear it one more time again? You have 2 whole weeks to consider what this is. Get your guesses in and tell us what it is.
2 whole weeks.
Here's the clip one more time.
Do you mind telling me what's going on here, crewman?
We're making dinner.
I see.
I enjoy that clip, and when folks who know what that clip is will know why I enjoy it, and when you figure it out,
that's the best part.
Yeah, we'll save it to there. Why is yours? It's all echoey. Are you making that echoey?
I'm doing the double tap.
Here, hold on, do it again. Let's is this doing? Oh wait, no, I'm doing it on the wrong. Here, I got to do it over here. Like, okay, now try it again.
Wait a second, let me try again. Wait.
Okay.
Shit. Damn it. Now I can't do it.
Why can't...
Oh! Wait.
Oh, yeah, here. There we go.
Hello, Clarine.
Clarine? All right. Clarine. All right. Sorry, audience. I mean, what are we going to do? It's summer.
I didn't really do a great job.
It's okay. It can't all be winners.
So why
can I tell people where to send the guesses in real quick, Chris?
Yeah.
feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. That's the email. feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. You can send your guesses there. Or DMS. That's direct message, is my understanding, is what that stands for. DM us on social media @itsgotstartrek. We're on most of them. Blue Sky, Mastodon, all that business.
I wish I could believe that.
All right. So we look forward to your guesses. Back to you, Dan, for whatever it was you were just about to say.
Why doesn't Graves get consciousness in the ship computer, but he does with Data? Is it because of the positronic brain network thing?
Sure, why not?
I think he made it so he didn't do that.
How do they know, though? How does Picard know? First of all,
they told us, Dan.
Yeah, right. But first of all, I hope to God I hope to God he doesn't have consciousness inside that computer.
Because you know who else is in there is like fucking Moriarty.
Yeah.
He would spend the rest of eternity bored out of his mind inside of a ship's computer. That would be fucking hell.
That's certainly one potential horrific interpretation.
Now, I would say that I feel bad for Graves because in the same day, he went from "I'm going to live until the end of time" to "I'm going to die today."
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like yeah. all of the, that's you've got to feel bad for anyone else to go through that though, whiplash.
Even though it's not it's tangentially related to what you're saying, but you made me think about a choice that I really enjoyed that William Morgan Shepherd made. Did I say that name properly?
William
Morgan Shepherd.
Yes, you did.
Towards the beginning of the episode, when Dr. Salar says you're totally gonna die, and it goes to the commercial break, and it zooms in like on William Morgan Shepherd, he's smiling a little. It's like this weird, like, okay, you just found out 100% you're going to die, and he had this look on his face that was almost inscrutable. It was interesting. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure what we were meant to take away from it. I'm not saying that this is some genius thing necessarily, but it was interesting. It was a really cool choice made by the actor or whoever.
I agree.
Because it's unsettling. But I don't know.
He accepted it. Yeah. He was bummed out, but he also was trying to put off an air like it didn't bother him all at the same time.
Of course, later we find out that he has this plan of copying himself into the computer. But I think he presumed that also, like what happens in the end, that he wouldn't truly be fully in the computer, would be more maybe his knowledge. It is an underexplored philosophical part of this episode. Again, this comes up a lot. They've got, 40 some odd minutes. We get it. They can't talk about everything. But it's very tantalizing. Yet we never get much discussion about what does it mean to be conscious? What does it mean to be alive? What's the difference between the computer and Data? Obviously there wasn't room for it in the way it was ultimately presented. Yeah. Dan, what about your list? Let's finish off the episode with your magical list.
Sure. I just want to mention that one of the best scenes were Graves Data backhands Picard in the face. Mm-hmm. He backhands him with his right hand, the back of his right hand to his right, but Picard spins to his left. Picard spun the wrong way. But that was a great scene watching Patrick Stewart. He did his own stunts there. It was pretty fucking awesome. Yeah. And I have to mention that the end scene between Data and Geordi, when Data's like, Geordi, and Geordi's like,
yeah.
He's like, may I ask a question? He goes, I think he just did.
Yeah.
That was it's like, it's the cutest scene in Star Trek.
Because we're trying to end the podcast soon, I truly hope you won't take this the wrong way, Dan, but I thought of you when Geordi was like, I think you just did. And then Data was all like, well, may I ask another question after this one?
Yeah.
I was like, Dan wouldn't be having, Dan, that's exactly, Dan would know how to deal with this.
Maybe it just hit close to home. I thought it was adorable. It made me feel happy. It's like they love each other.
I mean, we love you and you're adorable.
Data and Geordi love each other.
Dan is rubbing himself in a cute way, in a creepy, gross way.
No, it's a cute way.
Yeah, right now.
Okay, well, let's see how much of this I can get through. So Graves had to have known the irony of
him. That's the title of the list. Graves had to have known.
The irony of him getting furious with Kareen when Kareen said, the irony of him getting furious when Kareen said he had been ill-tempered. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, you've been really ill-tempered lately. And he's like,
And of course, we don't know.
He's got Darnays.
We did not know this character before. So we can't be a judge at this stage in the episode of whether or not Kareen's concerns are valid or not. Mm-hmm. Right. Which is interesting. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that's a mistake or anything, but it is true that if you've never seen this episode, even though he's acting like a dickhead, he's also being portrayed as a genius dickhead. So it's like, is this different than his previous assholery? We don't know. We didn't know the gentleman before this episode.
Graves had to have known that when he kissed Salar's hand, it was not charming.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't charming or gentlemanly in an old fashioned kind of way. It felt invasive and predatorial.
It was gross.
Yeah.
Even in the time period this was filmed. There's some 80s stuff where it's like they knew it was weird, but what I'm saying is
other people could pull off the kissing hand and it being charming.
Exactly. If they were charming people.
Yeah, but like when he does it, because of who he is, it feels like kind of gross.
And it makes it harder to sympathize with him. And we're not meant to sympathize with him too much, I guess. But because it's not like, oh, he's a funny old man, a horny old man. It's like he's got weird teeth and he cocks his head in a weird way.
He's not even saying things that are all that funny. He's saying things that are just rather terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had to have known that him saying women aren't people, they're women, wasn't as complimentary as he made it seem to
Again,
think.
Again, you could make that charming if it starts out, women aren't people, and that makes you think, oh no, he's an asshole. And then the punchline is that the women are gods or something.
Right, they're better than people.
Even if it's still gross and misogynistic, there's the elevating version versus the, I'm just going to say they're women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had to have known that talking about a Klingon in the third person while they're within earshot, that they act like a Romulan is highly insulting. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you know the difference.
That was on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's why I say he had to have known.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, did he know? He didn't know? He had to have known. But that doesn't mean he did know, but it means he probably could have known. But he might not have.
He's misogynistic and racist.
I mean, yeah, if you know the difference between a Klingon and a Romulan, you know that they don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
And besides, Klingons and Romulans are different. Like, Romulans are sneaky, and Klingons specifically, like, think sneakiness is dishonorable.
Unless you're early TOS, where they had to be the reverse.
And of course, they break these rules on
Course. We're merely stating this so that our fans don't know. Because every now and then you're like, these guys don't know nothing about Star Trek. We know a thing or two about Star Trek.
We know a thing or two about Star Trek.
We're pretty cool.
We're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I am fine.
I have
could not be better.
I have like a Lower Decks beer glass.
Chief O'Brien.
I've got a calendar of Star Trek cats over here.
So
actually, I have a Star Trek tattoo. Maybe I was should
have. You've had that the longest.
I got that when I was 18. It was
got
my
what?
My Star Trek tattoo. My first tattoo. By the way, I showed that to my daughter had a band performance yesterday where they had a custom composed song that they got to play with the guy who composed it.
Oh, that's good.
It was really cool. And when he announced it, he said that the song was titled Evasive Maneuvers.
Whoa.
And I leaned over to my wife and I was like, oh, this dude's into Star Trek. And then he was like, I wrote this song because I love Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
And every time like they're like in battle, they have to do evasive maneuvers. So I hope that that helps prime you to what this song is about. And by the way, I got to get a copy of this. It was an awesome bit of music.
Right, so did it sound evasive and maneuvering?
Yes, because what is great about this composer, because I've
did he make the song bespoke for?
Yes, they got us. The school got a grant, and they hired him to
that's badass.
Custom make this song. He's done other songs that my kids have played. He's become a popular entertainer. I think his name is Jose Vargas.
The only music we ever got written was for. By other students.
Oh, I've heard of that. I think I've heard of
Jose Vargas. He's been developing a reputation for being a great composer, particularly for school levels, because the song sounds all super complicated and spacey, but the individual parts are not necessarily that complicated. It's how he layers them, and I like that. So, anyway, comment concluded. I mentioned that, but it's important I conclude this bit, Dan.
That sounds very interesting. I'm glad you brought that
because
up.
Because I brought it up for a reason that I didn't mention. I went up to him after the concert, and I was like, that was great. I love Star Trek, too. It was really cool to hear that you're a fan. And he pointed at his watch. He's like, yeah, I'm a big fan. Look at my watch band. And he had a cool watch band that had all these Star Trek deltas on it. And I was like, hey, I look at my tattoo. He looked at me like, okay, you really fucking like Star Trek.
He got the fuck away. You're backing off now.
All right.
They won't let you get away with it.
There we go. And the tattoo was on my ass. That's why he was like, this is a middle school auditorium.
And your hoo-ha.
Nah, it's on my ankle.
Anus?
Ankle.
Sir, put your hoo-ha away. This is a school
concert. I have a triple tattooed on my anus.
I mentioned this already, but Graves had to have known that when he looked at Data and said, this is Soong's work, absolutely no aesthetic value whatsoever, that he had to have known that Data's appearance is modeled after Soong's, and that's fucked up.
Yeah, because he knew Soong.
Yeah.
He's a piece of
Data
shit.
Data looks like Soong.
Yeah. Saying, come on, gorgeous, spit it out to a doctor or anyone is kind of rude.
Yes.
Like anyone, like a counselor
or a psychologist.
Yeah.
Or if somebody brings you a coffee.
A bosun.
Yeoman.
This one's a little weird. I'm trying to figure out what I meant by this. So Graves says,
real quick. I'm so excited by this because each of these has been preceded by Graves should have known.
Yeah.
So first of all, I recommend you do that again. And I get so excited when Dan forgets why he put something on the list.
Okay. So Graves says, it must be so hard for
Wait, real quick. It's got to start. I know you're frustrated, but you got to be like, Graves should have known.
I have to give you his quote first.
Oh, this is confusing.
I told you it's confusing.
Okay, the previous ones were like, Graves should have known.
And, I know.
Oh,
I get it. I know. That's why I'm confusing.
I apologize.
I prefaced it with this is is confusing. Okay, so we're deviating a little here.
Didn't even play the, it would be helpful if you apologize. I guess you don't need to play that clip because I did apologize.
I'd make you feel better if you said you were sorry.
It did.
If you wish to apologize, I am prepared to listen.
It helped. It made me feel better. I'm getting signals it did not make you feel better. But the overall amount of betterness in the universe has slightly increased.
It must be so hard for you to be so close to being human and yet never really knowing what it's like to know pain. Graves had to have known that it's rude to point out to someone in what they way they're lacking.
Yes. Or even implying that the quote unquote lack is a lack.
And because that's why it's weird, right? But in this instance, what Data is lacking is pain. But it's basically Graves must have known that it's rude to point out to somebody things that they lack, even if what they're lacking is pain.
Yeah. And especially later, and I don't know if this is on your list too, like his whole argument with Picard was all like, this is a fucking robot.
Also,
fuck the robot. I should be alive in here.
Graves should have known to follow that up. You should have known that it's also rude to say, I feel pity for you. Your existence must be a kind of walking purgatory, neither dead nor alive, never really feeling anything, just existing.
assumptions.
It's like what he could be describing himself.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was. Maybe that's what Dan was talking about at the beginning of the podcast about loving
yourself. Precisely.
Yeah. Anything else on that list? It seems like there is, except you're
he's holding back. He's coy in it.
Yeah. Well, this one I just have like a quote, but I don't have anything following it up.
Well, how about you read it to us and maybe Jesse and I can help you noodle it through.
Maybe I got
to follow up. Okay. Graves had to have known that he's totally giving himself away with exchanges like this. Graves Data says, we will try to honor him in the manner in which he specified. Will we not, sir? Yeah. Picard says, I said we would, Data. First of all, nowhere in that scene did Picard say that. I would look back and it's like, did Picard say that? He never said that.
Right.
Then Graves Data says, I am glad, sir. It was his dying wish. Like, his ego just can't stop him from saying stupid things. And it gets worse from there, as we find out.
Yeah.
But him, like, the way he's inflecting and the way he's, like, concerned with how his fucking funeral or whatever turns out, like, he has to have known that, like, he's doing a piss poor job of hiding his non-dataness.
And I think this relates a little bit to your comment, Dan, about Brent Spiner's version of Graves not really fully matching the Graves we saw. I think kind of another layer to that is that the Graves stuff is increasingly, I mean, it is funny, but it's also comical in even the most arrogant asshole people aren't quite like that arrogant. I think usually it starts to verge into the silly again, with the result that we get to see Data do some funny stuff. It's entertaining, but it starts to not be quite as believable that even this guy Graves would be saying that kind of ridiculous stuff.
He had to have
Graves should have known.
He should have known. That,
I guess he didn't know.
He should have.
I like that reference. That's a good one.
He should have known that, like, he needed to do a better job of keeping it in his pants around Corrine, so he didn't have to visibly stop himself from caressing her face the first time he sees her as Data. Yeah. Like, he did. He put his hand up to her face and had to stop himself.
And the whole time he has no concept of how strong Data is, so he just keeps, busting everybody up.
Right? And the thing is, again,
we
didn't go into it too much because this is, it's fairly light in this episode, even though it's an important part. Like, Graves' logic is, I'm a good guy because when I was an elderly dude, I didn't try to make out and have sex with my dead partner's daughter I've clearly raised. There's nobody else on the planet. Yeah. And we don't know exactly when his partner died, but obviously Graves has been around since she's a baby. So that's already weird. Right. Mm-hmm. And then but Graves' logic is, the old man body's dead. Now I'm a young robot. Yeah. I can fuck this girl.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. The point is that you're like her dad or uncle or some shit. That's why it's weird. You're like an 80-year-old, 100-year-old person who's known her since she was a baby or something. That's the part of the relationship that's the problem. Yeah. Not necessarily that you're in an elderly body. It would be no problem for her to hang out with, one of them Benjamin Button backwards, somebody who's old if they're you know, if they're like a similar age, it's not the wrinkliness or the weird teeth or the bizarre hairline that's the issue. It's that you have an existing relationship with this person that's sort of guardian parent in style. And that doesn't, if you did really transfer your consciousness into Data, that doesn't go away. Anyway.
Data can fuck some other shit.
I mean, for such a smart guy, he really had a hard time reading Corrine when he was telling her how exciting it is that he gets to make an android body for her and live with her until the end of time.
She was like, no.
It like never occurs to him that she might not like him, like doing that. I mean, she makes it pretty obvious while he's talking to her. She's like, oh, like, what are you doing? He's like, no, you don't understand. It'll be great. We can live till the end of time.
I mean,
you know?
It's not news to any of us like in this room.
I don't want to live till the end of time.
It just doesn't occur to him that she doesn't want to do that.
We are all familiar with the fact that
he's like, now that I'm in an android body, all problems are solved. Isn't this great?
Often the smartest people are the stupidest people.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's the lesson of this episode.
Yeah. He had to have known that how ridiculous his fucking eulogy or whatever he gave was. He went from sounding like a, like as Ira Graves, he went from sounding like a crotchety, like pompous, but believably smart old man to a total clown doofus when he was Graves Data. And he had to have known what kind of an asshole he sounded when he started complimenting his own person in his own speech. Like, what loser has such a low self-esteem that they have to like, you know, do that when they're going incognito as another person?
Well, he's been on like this planet for who the hell knows how long.
We would have been smarter if he adapted his behavior to be more like Data's, but he couldn't hold himself back. He had to have known that doing this was giving himself away.
Well, he was true to himself.
He was so he was so desperate to he had to have insecurity. He had to have insecurity issues if he has to compliment himself in front of other people as another person.
Yeah, he's one of the most insecure people ever on Star Trek.
Yeah, for real.
When you meet these people in real life, the danger they pose is because they're insecure, and people that insecure will go to great lengths, as this episode demonstrates, to hide or delude themselves out of their own insecurity.
And he had to have known, whether he was Data or not, he had to know who starts insulting the intelligence of their crew member, especially when they're supposed to be an android. When he talked to Wesley and started telling Wesley who's a stupid piece of shit.
And I like how
Wesley's on the fucking bridge.
And not only that, this was a great episode for Wesley because like Wesley's just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I know.
And his voice was all like extra deep.
Yeah.
He was just like, Jesus.
Yeah, he did a good
guys.
Job of that. Yeah.
Totally.
Will Wheaton rules.
And he had to have known that he had to have known that an android is not going to be talking about how great of a lover they are. Because there was that the one scene where he says Riker says, you're not turning into a philosopher, are you, Mr. Data? He's like, I am many things. Scholar, artist, philosopher, lover, genius. Like, come on, you had to have known that's not something a Data would say.
Yeah. There was like...
He had to have known... Tasha Young. I'm almost done with this. He had to have known that... The thing he should not have done was say, yes, I'm aware of your interest in her, implying that Picard was going after Corrine, if he didn't intend for Picard to hear it. You know, like he had to have known that, Picard was going to hear it.
Again, clearly it was intentional.
It was clearly intentional.
Because he's a dickhead.
And he had to have known that would totally, blow up his spot even more. Yeah. He must have not given a fuck at that point.
That's an interesting question because I had that same thought initially, but then the other side of it is he could just be so colossally arrogant that his brain didn't let him think about the consequences because... In his mind, no matter the consequences, he's smart enough to work around them, right? It's not that he doesn't think there might be consequences for his behavior, because you'd be stupid not to think that. But he could be so arrogant. I think that's another thing we unfortunately see a lot in life, that people do things that are stupid because they think they're so smart that it won't matter.
Yeah.
They'll wriggle out of it.
So that's basically it. One more thing I have to say, though, is that I thought it was interesting at that same scene. He goes up to Picard and he's like saying basically called Picard old. He goes, I detest hypocrisy. I wish they would just come out and admit it. And Picard said, admit what, Mr. Data? And Data says that your interest in Corrine is not purely professional. Try as you will. You cannot win her heart. She does not care for older men. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's like you're Data. You're like calling your captain old, like an old man. So it focused on Picard because that was an insecurity thing, because that was him projecting because he felt she didn't want him because he was an old man.
It's you because you're a fucking uncle or some shit.
Yeah, right, Right. And so he was actually kind of like yelling at her through Picard.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He was like, cause I didn't realize that at first, but when he says I detest hypocrisy, it was her hypocrisy because he thought she was going after Picard when she wouldn't go after him. Yeah. And it's because they're old or whatever. But yeah, that wasn't it. But what was funny is that he said, or men of limited intellect, and the camera shot over to Riker for some reason. Like what? So it was funny. Earlier in the episode, there was a part where like Worf was like speaking some shit about that. I think it was about the Constantinople or something. Mm-hmm. And they showed a shot of Worf. I think it was Worf standing there. And then like Riker's head appears like out of nowhere from below the screen. Right. You see Riker's head go bleep, like pop up from
was he, like walking up the ramp, or was he standing he down
was
below?
It was a shot above like to the back of the bridge where the consoles back there were above the chair. So I think Riker was sitting in the chair
and just got
and
up.
He just stood up. You see his head sort of like float into the screen at the beginning. So, but good old Riker.
Yeah. Well, he's Graves should have known. It was all those things.
It was our records show that she and Graves are the only ones living on the planet, Captain. When Worf starts saying planet, Riker comes elevating into the scene from below and stands fully erect as Worf finishes saying Captain.
Fully erect.
Like
fully
they did it on erect purpose.
Indeed.
Yeah.
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 Well,
ammonia tornadoes.
A bunch of interesting things in this episode. Interesting story. Kind of convoluted in some bits. Some things don't make sense. You get Brent Spiner gets to have some fun. Lots of weird, weird is not fair to say, unusual camera angles, and they were trying to have some fun, clearly, zhuzh things up.
I thought it was awesome that Wesley, like, was really into Graves' speech.
Yeah.
Like, he thought that was great, when he's like, to know him is to love him. It's so stupid, but, like, Wesley was like, oh, that was amazing.
Well, and I also, I don't want to read too much into it. I kind of thought that, like, the reason Wesley was into it was that he thought, like, Data was being kind of, like, maybe not sarcastic, but you know, he just thought it was kind of funny that like Data was trying to like give a eulogy. I don't think he thought it was like, my impression was not that Wesley thought this was some like groundbreaking, amazing philosophical shit. I think he just thought it was kind of funny to hear Data give a shitty ass eulogy.
And when Data had his psychotronic stability examination, I counted 73 images.
Ah.
Oh, damn, dude.
That's a lot of images. Yeah. Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. That's all I got to say.
Well, fuck.
Okay, well, it was worthwhile.
Yeah, sure.
Hopefully, the podcast was.
Fun seeing Brent Spiner doing different things in Star Trek.
And you know, all the early stuff, season two in particular, is just a kind of a. It's a shortened season. It's got Pulaski. They're trying different things, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. Often within one episode, but lots of fun stuff along the way. Cool. So that was this episode. As we said, we'll be back with an official episode 2 weeks from now. We'll be discussing Star Trek Deep Space Nine's
She's a transport ship used to ferry settlers.
Fascination. That's the episode we'll be discussing. And next week we'll put something out. Jesse and I are thinking of doing some fun, so we'll see what we get out, but there'll be something for you.
It'll blow your mind.
On the feed next week. Write in your thoughts, comments, et cetera, to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or go to www.itsgotstartrek.com and you know, look around there. You can sort by the seasons, that sort of thing, or by series, I should say.
You can sort by all sorts of
no.
Social media at It's Got Star Trek.
No.
YouTube.
It's Got Star Trek.com slash record if you want to record a voicemail. Patreon.com/It's Got Star Trek if you want to give us money. Yeah.
You get funny bits.
We'll get some more content. There's lots of content up there already. Definitely, if you don't mind. Reviews are great. If you want to leave a review, Dan will write a haiku. That's a for real thing. But
Dan can't.
If you can, subscribe to us on YouTube. We're trying to increase our subscriber count there. You don't have to listen to us there if you don't want to, but for whatever reason,
people dig it.
In this nightmarish hellscape we live in, the algorithm on YouTube is particularly helpful to podcasts these days.
Pretty helpful.
Go subscribe. Leave some comments if you like.
Well,
there's some fun stuff going on YouTube. But other than that, we'll be back at you very soon. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
This experiment must be terminated. Now set him free.
No!
I'm sorry, I have to go now. Goodbye.
Not the best.
Not horrible, the psychologist.
Horrible counselor.
Did you damage your face, Dana?
It is a beard, Geordi. A fine, full, dignified beard. One which commands respect and projects thoughtfulness and dignity. Well, opinions?
It's, very different.
When I stroke the beard thusly, do I not appear more intellectual?
I'm sorry, I have to go now. With the bind.
Why was she laughing?